The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Take your seats for just a second. I'm not going to be very, very much longer, but I want to share a word with you that I believe is going to encourage you and bring strength into your heart, into your life. I just want to read a quick verse out of Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 11 through 12. Mark 2, 11 through 12. And it says this: I say unto thee, arise. Everybody say, arise. I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Jesus is in Capernaum in our scripture this morning, and he goes into this man's home, and he begins to release his presence in this man's home in such a way that word gets out that Jesus is in his house. What I love about this passage is that we're not looking at a church building right now. We're not looking at a conference. We're not even looking at a concert. We're looking at a man who we don't even know his name. His name is not important. He's a nameless, faceless brother who has a home that he allows Jesus to do what he wants to do in his house. It reminds me of Obed-Edom, who through a series of events ended up with the ark of the presence of the Lord in his house. His house was so blessed that David said, I know I messed up trying to get it into this nation before, but if it can bless his man's house, it can bless my nation. It was so powerful that this regular, hardworking man with a family is just doing what he does, paying his bills, keeping his children in order, helping his wife, and doing what he's supposed to do to care for house and home. And all of a sudden, God hits his house. And when God hits his house, when his super hit that man's natural, supernatural things begin to take place in this man's house. I don't know about you, but I don't want to pay a mortgage on a house where God is not. I want Jesus in my living room. I want Jesus in my bedroom. I wish I had a witness in the house this morning. I want Jesus in my kitchen. I want Jesus, come on, in my hallway. I want him with me everywhere I go. I don't want to have a moment where Jesus is not present. Come on, somebody shout yes. And I believe that in this generation, we're going to have more than Jesus showing up at our church buildings. We need mothers and fathers. We need parents. We need people who are head of households who say, I'm not going to wait till Sunday to have an encounter with Jesus. I'm not going to wait until there's a conference to have an encounter with Jesus. I'm not going to wait for a revival to break out to have an encounter with Jesus. I want healing in my house. I want deliverance in my house. Ask for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. And I want to ask a question. If Jesus was to step into your house, will you let Jesus preach in your house? Can his word have the preeminence in your house? Can the principles of God's word be what is released in your house? If Jesus was to show up in your house today, if he was to step in there on a Tuesday evening and you were just kind of hanging out, what channels would you turn from because he showed up? What websites would you try to delete real quick because he's going through your computer? Oh, come on, somebody. What friends would you say, I want you to unfriend me? Why? Because Jesus is watching my Facebook. See, when you want healing and you want deliverance and you want breakthrough in your house, you've got to let his word have priority. Mm-hmm. A few claps and a few grunts, but I'm telling you, friend, I want Jesus in my house. This man said, I don't just want his presence in my house. I want him to preach the word in my house. In other words, I want the word of God to be released in my house. And this man's house became so blessed that people from everywhere began to show up and say, you know what? I heard that Jesus was in your house. Can I come in? I hear that there's healing in your house. Can I come in? And it became so packed that you couldn't get anyone else in there. And here is this brother that's crippled, that's messed up, and he's got some friends that love him enough to carry him until they can get him to the presence of Jesus. I love this part of our story today because I understand from a personal experience the challenges in carrying the broken. I understand the challenges in carrying. Understand that not one could carry him alone. It took four of them to carry one man who was broken. But they were willing to stay the course. And they were willing to fight for this brother until they can get him into the presence of Jesus. God raised up a generation in the body of Christ who are willing to carry the broken until we can get them into the presence of the real God. And I understand sometimes we lose hope and we lose patience and we kind of get our heart broken, because when you're carrying broken people, when you're carrying the challenges that they have and you're carrying the issues that they have and you're carrying all of the struggles that they have, it takes your time, it takes your energy, it takes investment. Come on, somebody say amen. But you have to see him in his healed state even while he is broken. You have to see him in his whole state even while he's crippled. And oftentimes we look at people on the street and we just see their issues, we just see their brokenness, we just see their challenges, but what we don't see is what they can become when they get in the presence of the real Jesus. What we don't see is what can happen when they have an encounter with the real God. And these four brothers said, I know that you're broken. I know that you're on a stretcher. And I know that your life is a wreck. But just wait. When we get you in the presence of the real God, you're going to be a sign and a wonder to a generation. When we get you in the presence of a real Jesus, people will say, I have never seen it on this fashion. There's some people in this room. You came in here broken. You came in here heavy. You came in here with issues. You came in here with struggles. But God doesn't just want to set you free. God wants to raise you up as a voice and a testimony so that others can see how incredible, how faithful, how powerful, and how awesome your God really is. If you believe that, shout yes. The young man that you saw on the screen today, his name is Kagan. He was addicted to drugs and he was a homosexual. When I first met Kagan, he came to an altar like this. I didn't know if he was a boy or a girl. I had no idea what his gender was. He was so out there and so just trapped in bondage. I couldn't figure out what gender he was. And I had people, pastors and elders even tell me, you don't want to touch that guy. That guy is horrible. You put him in your ministry, everybody's going to call you queer. Everybody's going to call you gay. Everybody's going to say you're strange. No one's going to want to be around you. You can't take that boy into churches. People will laugh at him. People will mock him. People will say things about him. But when he had an encounter with the real Jesus, now the 700 Club is interviewing him. Now he's in Charisma Magazine. Now he's going into governors and into mayor's offices, and he is talking to them about standing up for traditional marriage. Now he's ministering to people in Hollywood. Why? Because when somebody encounters the real Jesus, he makes all the difference in the world. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. I got a young man right here who overdosed when he was young, died, and a man prayed for him and God raised him back to life. Been crippled off heroin, been messed up for many years of his life. But when he had an encounter with the real God, he's gone from to nations all over the world, seeing the dead raised, seeing blind eyes come open, seeing the cripple come out of wheelchairs. Why? Because when somebody has an encounter with the real Jesus, it changes everything. These four are carrying someone that's broken and that's crippled. And then they get him so close, but yet it felt so far. The house is crowded. We can't get him in through the door. We can't get him in through the window. But there was a resolve that no matter what it took, We're going to see this boy get free. There was a resolve that no matter what the cost, we're going to get him into the presence of Jesus. I pray for a church that will love a generation enough that says, I don't care what it takes. We're going to see this generation have a revival. We're going to see America's sons and daughters saved. Come on. We're going to see revival hit our nation. Come on. Are we willing to pray the price? Are we willing to carry them in our hearts until we see revival break out in a generation? It was so important to them that they climbed up the side of a man's house. They dug a hole in the roof until they could get him in the presence of Jesus. And I'm getting to the heart of what I believe I'm to deliver today. I don't know who this man was. We know this man loved Jesus. We know that he loved him enough that he was preaching in this man's house. And people are having encounters in his house. Already his time is probably being adjusted in life is no longer as usual, and he's adjusting to the move of the Holy Spirit in his house, and now his roof is being torn apart. The side of his house is being climbed on. And before you know it, they are lowering this crippled boy into this man's house to have an encounter with the Jesus of that house. I want to talk to some mothers and fathers in this room, whom the Lord has blessed your house. I hope you understand that the revival that's stirring over America is not going to just happen in here. But I believe that what's coming into our nation, the revival that we need, there's not enough church buildings to host it. There's not going to be enough church buildings to host it. There's not going to be enough pastors who can show up on Sunday to fix this. To handle this, God's gonna wanna have revival on your street. Oh yeah. And my question is, are you ready for Holy Ghost interruptions? Would you be willing to have your time interrupted? Are you willing to have your structure challenged and changed? Your way of life reorganized or restructured to accommodate healing for the broken in your house? Can God invade your regular way of life? Can God interrupt your ESPN? Can God interrupt your movie night? Can God interrupt your date night? Can God interrupt you're just sitting and chilling on the couch or in the recliner with your remote control in your hand and start bringing tears into your eyes and start bringing people to knock on your door saying, can you pray for me? Can God interrupt life as usual to accommodate a move of his spirit in this nation? I believe that was stirring over this nation, God wants to do not just at Bethel, but God wants to do at your address. This man, we don't know who he is, but what I love about this passage is that he opens up his heart. He opens up those things that belong to him and says, if it means that my life has to be interrupted and I have to restructure the way I do things in order to accommodate the deliverance and the healing and the breakthrough that God wants to do in my house, then so be it. And beloveds, I just believe that God did not create you so that you can breathe air and then die. Pay some bills and pass on a car or a house to somebody else who didn't work for it. I don't believe that God raised you up to just come to church and sit on a pew, hear a good word, just to go and work the next 40 hours of a week, and as if God's going to just waste your life on 40 hours a week to pay a bill. God did not birth you into the world to just do that. But I believe that if God brought you into the world at this season in history, it's because there's treasure in your earthen vessel. It's because there are things that God wants to do in and through you that this generation needs. And I don't believe that it is a once a week thing at a church service. I believe that God is raising up men like those in the scripture who are saying, God,
You could restructure my house. You can let people climb on the side of my house. You can invade my house and preach the word in my house. You can release healing in my house. You can release freedom in my house. You can release breakthrough in my house. Let me ask it this way. I want to ask mothers and fathers, when is the last time your children heard you groan and cry and seek God in your house? When is the last time perhaps a son or daughter showed up from school, came home from school and walked in the house and the word was playing and not just a TV show? When was the last time they walked in the house or woke up in the morning and heard tongues being spoken in? When was the last time they heard Jesus preach in your house? Perhaps someone's deliverance depends on it. Perhaps someone's breakthrough depends on it. But brother, we live a good life. You know, we just try to, you know, do the right thing. And I love my family. And I love my children. But beloveds, I want to ask you this. What are you leaving behind besides good morals, good work ethic? Because when your children's back is against the wall, the job is not what they're going to turn to. When your children's lives are in trouble, may they remember the groan of their mom and the intercession of their dad. May they want the God of their father, not the God of the church they go to on Sunday. I've been doing this for 13 years, reaching out to young people who are coming out of the streets, and many of them grew up in church. Many of them, their parents are Christian. And they can't remember a time when they prayed with their mother and their father. They can't remember a moment when they would, I'm talking about a moment, not even a weekly thing, just not even a moment. They can't remember one moment besides being at church when they heard mom and dad praying at the house, seeking God at the house. They can tell you about, well, especially if you grew up like me, they can tell you about Tom and Jerry. They can tell you about Atari. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all stay in the house way too much for me. When I was a kid, everything we did was outside. Y'all put pads on everything, pads on knees, pads on heads. We played football, tackle football in the street. And we still came out all right, yeah. I can tell you about that stuff. But I can also remember my mother sitting us in a semicircle. I'm the oldest of 10. And she would sit us in a semicircle and pull out those, you know, those, now, this is probably dating me real bad right now, but she'd pull out those books, have all of these, like encyclopedia books with all kinds of colors. Those pictures that look like a bunch of, you know, cartoons in the, yeah, she'd pull that thing out and just read us all of this stuff, and we learn our ABCs to the scriptures, and we learned all of this stuff to the word of the Lord, and I can remember coming home from school, and Miss James is in the neighborhood. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and it's hot all the time, and she would be hanging clothes on the line, and while I'm coming home, she's singing hymns, and all my friends know that's Miss James. And I'm just like, Mama, can you just shut up? Can you just shut up, Mom? You're the only woman on the street that sings loud. Jesus, you know, and all my friends is like, that's Miss James. But when trouble broke out in our neighborhood, that's the house they came to. When people begin to have issues and challenges in marriages, or when in my neighborhood, I can remember when street gangs begin to start becoming prevalent in my neighborhood. And either the kids would come because they're scared, or the parents would come and say, can you pray for my son? He's in trouble. And as I am on this side of my journey with God, the God that answered our prayers then is the God I call on today. My question is this. What will your children remember when they get on this side of life? Will they remember cussing folk out? Will they remember having a bad attitude? Will they remember, boy, if I see her at church today, I'm gonna snatch that wig off her head? Or will they remember you opening up the scriptures and weeping as Jesus is speaking to you in your house? Yeah. Will they remember crying out to God as we wake up in the morning and we're getting hot meal and we're getting hot cereal, whether in grits or some bacon and eggs? Boy, I'm feeling that right now. That sounds awesome. Amen. But we're getting food ready for breakfast or lunch. And while that's happening, I'm hearing, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Scrambling the eggs. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. I'm going to close with this. I can remember struggles as I got older and challenges that I've gone through, and I won't bore your patience with all of it, but I can remember having times in the middle of the night where I felt like I couldn't sleep, and I would wake up, but I felt this oppression over me. I don't usually tell this, but I felt to share this by the Holy Spirit. I couldn't even move. I would I'd wake up and I just can't move. I remember Quincy actually talking about this the other day. I can't move. I'm awake, but I feel the Spirit over me. And I am troubled by this, and I'm saying, Lord, what am I going to do with this situation? And I can remember my mother calling on the name of Jesus. And so I would try to say Jesus, and I would have this, like, hand over my mouth, not letting me say it. I'm trying to say Jesus, and I can't get it out. So with everything inside of me, I get that name Jesus out of my mouth, and that thing breaks, and then I start praying. And then I would find myself at peace. Then it would happen again. And I can't say it. And then I finally get it out and the thing breaks off of me. And so I knew that I can call on the name of Jesus. And then time would go by and it seems as if this thing would be on me again. I'm saying, Lord, why am I not sustaining victory in this? And then I remember something that my mother did. And my young people can tell me, who travel with me in my hotel or different things, that I do this just about every night. My mother would play the word in the house. She'd get the audio Bible and she would play it, because one of the things that she taught me is you have to protect your atmosphere. Atmosphere is everything. That's why you can't watch everything that you want to watch on TV, and you can't just listen to everything. Protect your gates. Whoever holds your gate holds your fate. You got to make sure that you protect your gates, protect your eye gate, protect your ear gate. Be careful what you let in here and what you let in here. Faith comes by hearing, but so does fear. Protect your gates. Protect what you allow inside your mind. Protect what you allow inside your heart. And it gets in there through your eyes and through your ears. So you watch. You be careful of what you watch. Set no wicked thing before my eyes. And so I begin to take the word of the Lord. And I begin to play it in my atmosphere. I'd play it all night long. And I begin to find a victory even through the night, because I wouldn't even let the devil have my night. Not only am I living holy and walking upright before the Lord and watching what happens in the day, but in the night, if the devil's going to try to come in my room at night, he's coming to an atmosphere full of the word. He's coming to a spirit-rich atmosphere, a Bible-rich atmosphere. If the enemy comes to your house, he better be scratching his head saying, we're going to have to think about this one. That's a Holy Ghost rich atmosphere at that house. Man, they pray all the time. The word of God is being played all the time. Man, that mama, she makes sure that what's coming off that TV is Holy Ghost. But see, in our current culture, we think that that's just too much. That's just over the top. That's just being too religious. That's just being too holy and too deep. But my question is this: do you want healing for your children or not? Do you want victory for your house or not? Do you want your house to be so full of the Holy Ghost that if the enemy does come in, he's got to think twice, because it is so rich with the presence of Jesus that if he gets his foot in the door, he's going to be cast right out. Come on, somebody shout yes. And I can tell you on this side of the journey, when it comes time for addiction to break off of a person's life, that's the atmosphere they need to live in. When it comes time for homosexuality or any other brokenness to be broken off of a person's life, that's the atmosphere they need to live in. I believe in this day, and I'm going to pray now. I believe that in the day that we're living in, that God is looking for houses of revival, living rooms where he can preach in, kitchens that he can release his glory through, places in neighborhoods where people are hurting and struggling and broken, that in that neighborhood there is a house that's like a city sitting on a hill that can't be hid. That there's a light shining bright on that street that brings hope and freedom and healing. I want to speak to you today. And perhaps you would say, Brother James, I love God, I love my family, but I don't pray like I should. I love God, I love my family, but I don't seek the Lord like I should. I can't tell you the last time I laid hands on my children and put oil on their head. I can't tell you the last time they heard me pray in the Holy Ghost. They may come to church with me, but I don't bring them in my bedroom with me and pray over them. I don't go into their bedroom and lay hands on them and speak life and purpose into them like I should. They know I love them, and I know they love me, but I don't pour into them spiritually like I should. And that's going to change today. And perhaps there are people in this room, like these young people that are with me, you're like the crippled man on the stretcher. Your life is broken, and you need God to say, arise. It's time to get up out of this. It's time to get up out of this. Out of this depression, out of this anger, out of this fear. It's time to get up out of this addiction, out of this perverse lifestyle that you weren't created for a stretcher. You were created to bring glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You were created to be bound. You were created for freedom. And today God is saying, I am in this house to call you up, to say, arise. Arise. And that bed that you've been living in, take it to your house so that you can show other people what God's done for you. I don't want them to throw away their bed. I want them to carry it and say, I was once an addict and look what God's done in my life. This is the testimony of Jesus in my life. If God can get me out of this, God can get you out of this. Musicians, will you begin to be put in position, get in place? And I want everyone here to bow your heads, and I want you to begin to let the Holy Spirit begin to search your heart. I want you to let the Holy Spirit search your heart, and I want you to hear Holy Spirit this morning, because I believe that there are those today. There are two groups of people that I believe I'm sent for this morning. Two groups of people, and then we're going to let you go. One is a group of people, parents, who believe that God has marked you to be more than just one who pays bills and keeps your house going and everything is going okay, but God has marked your house to be a house of his presence, a house like Obed-Edom where you entertain the ark of God's love and glory in your house. And perhaps you're saying, Brother James, this word was awesome for me today. I needed to hear this. It is stirring up my Holy Ghost. I need to pray more. I need to seek the Lord more. I need to pray over my children more. I want Jesus to be in my home. I want a Holy Spirit rich atmosphere in my house, and I want to start releasing that. And this has challenged me today, and I'm going to do better in this area. I am going to be a woman or a man that my children will know the legacy of the Holy Spirit, that they're going to inherit, not just in the natural, but in the supernatural. They're going to inherit what it means to pray, what it means to seek the Lord, because they're going to watch my example. They're going to see me praying over them. them. They're going to hear me seeking the face of the Lord. I want them to find the Bible to be the most treasured possession that they could ever have. I want to leave a legacy of God's presence in my home and in my family. And I want to challenge you today that if that is you, to respond to this moment, to let the Holy Spirit begin to move in your heart. And those in this room, like the man on the stretcher, you find yourself in a paralyzed state spiritually. You're not living for God. Your life is a wreck. It is time for you to arise and take up your bed and start walking in the things of God. It's time for you to come out of bondage and into freedom, out of darkness and into his marvelous light. God is talking to you this morning. And this morning, I want you to respond to the presence of Jesus, to the calling of his heart. Let Jesus set you free today. Let him set you free today. Amen. If you fall into one of those two categories, if God's talking to you, you're either the one like this man. You're saying, Lord, I want my house to be a house where your presence is priority. I want my house to be a house where your word is released. I want my house to be a house where my children and my neighbors know that there's healing here. There's victory here. There's deliverance here. I don't want my house to be a house of fighting and a house of anger and a house of depression, but I want my house to be a house of prayer, a house of joy, a house of your presence. If that is you and you're saying today, Brother James, that word was for me, I want my life to reflect what God is saying. I want my house to be filled with his presence. I'm going to pray more in my house. I'm going to pray more with my family. I'm going to release Jesus more in my atmosphere. I want my atmosphere to be rich with the presence of God. If that is you, my friend, when I count to three, I want you to leave your seats and meet me at this altar. If you're in this room and you're saying, Eddie, Brother James, man, I'm the man on the stretcher. Man, my life is not what it's supposed to be. I need freedom. I need breakthrough. Man, I need to come out of this. God is speaking to me, and today I'm going to arise. I'm coming out of this in Jesus' name. When I count to three, I want you to come. Meet me at this altar. Meet me at this stage. We're going to lay before the Lord. When I count to three, if you are in one of those categories, you're the mother or the father that says, I want my house to be a house of prayer, a house of his presence. Or second, you're saying, I'm the one on the stretcher and I want to get up. When I count to three, if that is you, I want you to meet me at this stage. Are you ready? One, two, three. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Worship Center. I hope you enjoyed this message from one of our anointed visiting speakers. Please visit our website to learn more about our ministry at bethelwc.org. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ.